Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from PR Week. I'm Frankie Oliver, your host and founder of New Society. And today I'm joined by UK editor John Harrington. Hello.
Hi.
And our very special guest, Siobhan Holt, news editor, also from PR Week. Hello,
Hello.
Welcome. It's the first time you've been on. It's lovely to have you.
It is. Thank you for letting me join.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So this week, yes, we're going to keep going with a bit more Cannes, and I think this will probably draw to a close. But this week it is a final, probably, conversation about Cannes. And really, this week we're going to be looking at the work and a number of the campaigns that came out and our points of view on what we thought did well. So, John, first, let's go straight to you.
Yeah.
Iceland and its loans campaign. What did you
yes.
think?
Well, I think it's good to look at the PR Lines winners, some of them that did well. And I'm going to start with one of the, let's face it, relatively few that had an idea creation credit to a PR agency, Iceland Food Club, from Ketchum. Now, very simply, it was a series of micro loans to help customers during the cost of living crisis. Obviously, rising food costs, this was something that the supermarket and Ketchum decided to go through with, and it got a huge amount of positive publicity and a huge number of loans that were actually taken out. So it's obviously a really fantastic thing to be doing. You know, it's no more important thing that a food retailer can do at this time, I think, than help with food costs. And this was an innovative way to do it. So well done to Ketchum and to Iceland. I mean, interestingly, I was having this conversation about whether this even counts as a PR campaign, given it's an operational thing, isn't it? It's a business decision. And I messaged Jaron Robertson, who's the chair of the PR Lions, just about this. She's also from Ketchum, incidentally, and about a few other Lions winners. And the point she made is that they were judging against a couple of bits of criteria. Were they earned at the core? Were they deep in culture? And did they have an impact, whether that's commercial or societal? And her view was that if the campaign did that, then there wasn't necessarily a need for, you know, what we might consider a great creative spark. So from that point of view, I think that was interesting. But we had a bit of a discussion about this, didn't we? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's interesting to define what you think PR is and what a PR idea should be, because obviously there are publicity ideas, but that's really one small part of really what public relations should be. And I think, you know, I'm delighted when I see these sorts of ideas because they show real innovation at a business level that responds to what's happening out in the world, where a business can reputationally deliver an impact for its customer. And often, I mean, I've got years of experience of being in those situations where actually earned first communications consultancies are incredibly good at coming up with business innovation ideas to deliver meaningful impact in society and with their customer. And sometimes it can be incredibly hard to get those ideas away because you're in a silo or who you happen to be reporting to within the organization. And I think the fact that they were able to work with their client and deliver that kind of idea that is real and actually makes a difference and isn't just tomorrow's fish and chip paper is absolutely the sort of work that I think we as an industry should be delivering.
Yeah, I mean, when I was thinking more about this, remember when COVID first hit, the first lockdown and so on?
God, let me think.
I know. Sorry.
Lockdown one. We like lockdown one a bit, I think. Yeah, go on.
It had the novelty.
Yeah.
The sequels,
the sunshine.
Sequels were getting a bit tired. But do you remember that time? The idea of traditional kind of creative PR campaigns was sort of put on one side. And you had things like, you know, Leon having their deliveries to NHS staff and that sort of stuff.
The It was a crisis.
Yeah. The focus moved to helping people in need in a crisis. And I think that's what's happening now.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it shows that if it's PR agencies, PR teams on the front foot with that, then all the better. But I do think it's an interesting debate there around what you'd usually associate with creativity and creative campaigns at Cannes generally, not just in the PR lines. But, you know, I guess that's just the evolution of the genre. I also think it does show that PR has risen so much as to become such a vital business function. And I think this is something that, you know, arguably wasn't the case before the period of perma-crisis to such an extent, you know, in the sort of COVID era and arguably a couple of years before then with Brexit and Trump and obviously the various other social movements and the climate crisis and so on. So that's a roundabout way of saying I think it's interesting that this is one. I wouldn't normally associate this with a Cannes winner, but actually it's a good sign that it's a Cannes winner and it's a good sign for our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sort of echoes what we heard at the crisis conference yesterday from a lot of them, that they are working very closely with the C-suite now, which so maybe we're going to get more of these campaigns over the next few months. And I definitely know we've seen Nationwide are doing a very similar thing where they're giving their members £100 obviously to help with the crisis and their campaign that they're running is just taken over. So I think there's going to be more of a big trend towards this and it's
well, just we saw it with Asda, didn't we, as well? We saw
absolutely.
Asda also absolutely. Were, you know, they were delivering £1, I think it was meals for £1 in their cafe
yes.
and so forth, wasn't it? So and I think the Co-op Christmas campaign, that definitely deviated from the typical Christmas campaign, didn't it? And it was very much focusing on helping people to understand how they could cook on lower budgets and so forth. So you have to read the temperature
yes.
of what's going on around you. And we're in a perma-crisis. And actually, what is your role in terms of delivering the value and the relationship with the customer? And it has responded, the industry has responded in the right way, I would suggest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was interesting in the, going back to the crisis. So yesterday was our Crisis Comms Conference, PR Week's Crisis Comms Conference. And it was the comms director there, Christina Hess from Octopus Energy, who was talking about some of the work they've done to help customers. And a lot of that was done with, not all with comms, but comms was definitely a really important part of that, the way she explained it. And some of that stuff was, you know, really effective. It seemed to be really effective, practical stuff to help customers. And it wasn't necessarily used as a publicity drive. You know, didn't necessarily put out a press release about it, but
no.
It was the broader communications with customers and the broader sense of, you know, helping customers.
Absolutely. She was giving an example of a barometer that they had created that then ended up going on the accounts for their customers. And she said, as a result, the customers were sharing that. And so the PR came from them. But the idea was never meant to be a PR campaign. It was meant to be working collaboratively with the tech department, with the customer service department. So I think it all goes back to this sort of collaboration that's going on. At different levels.
Public relations is public relations.
Exactly.
And that's got lost along the way, I think, to a certain extent,
yeah.
by media relations and just thinking that that's the one trick pony.
The end game.
What this industry is about. And it absolutely isn't. And I think that's possibly where, you know, as you were saying, John, that's where the industry is now on a much better footing because it's been allowed to step into that space in a way that it can play a really credible and beneficial role to the business and to the customer, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like, but I know that can creativity, but you know, what is the right thing to do when you're in a crisis effectively?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tonally coming up with the right impact idea, I would have thought. So Siobhan, on to you. So the Adidas Ravi Superstar, tell us more.
Yeah, so this was a very different campaign. It was. I found it a bit more fun, if I'm being honest. It was
more fun than loans to stop people.
Yes. It was. It was more, but it was still very societal, though. So it was Ravi Restaurant, which is family-owned business in Dubai. It's been going years, and I think it's a bit of a staple of the area. Adidas had created a trainer for them, and it was sort of focusing on local business. So it was a very different campaign.
Do you know why?
It was more about celebrating the local community and food and hospitality. I believe Adidas will be covering 11 restaurants in 11 cities with 11 sneaker designs. So I think it was just a bit of an interesting take. And obviously they have this sort of nostalgic appeal in a very modern way. And I think they were just mixing that up. And
it's super random.
I know.
It is super random. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones that maybe we have to live in Dubai to understand the cultural relevance of
maybe,
Ravi restaurants.
Yeah.
And the crowd that's going there and the sorts of target audience that might be there for Adidas, which is the reason why they did that sort of collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even looking here, there's like coverage in Grazia magazine.
Yeah, that's
so
what
random.
I'm reading. Yeah. So I've just lifted that bit because I was like, that wasn't in the video.
Yeah, but it's it's not, you know, your natural collaboration. It's not like, you know, the latest basketball player, is it? So it's yeah. I mean, that's the one where I feel like we need to see the award entry in the video.
Yeah.
Again, it was they're called trainers.
Yeah, they are. They've got the restaurant printed on the inside of the tongue.
Very cool.
The menu. But but I suppose it does go back to...
Just feels like a creative got drunk in Ravi restaurants one night, don't you think? And just went, yeah, let's just create a Ravi ski. Do you know what
that.
I mean? It's got that sort of feel to it, hasn't it? There's absolutely no reason to do it whatsoever, but maybe this guy kind of hangs out there. I feel like there's some random story, but anyway...
But if we're going off the criteria, which was lived deep in culture, had real impact, and it was commercial or societal, it does tick all those boxes.
Yeah, I mean, you can write an award entry many ways, but yeah, I agree. So on to another trainer brand, Nike, and their sponsorship of the Women's Euros and their home campaign. So a really simple campaign where effectively they replaced the Nike branding with home, and then that was taken through all of their kind of key assets, from, you know, flags to sportswear to everything that the women's teams were using. So what did you think? I mean, I saw an interesting debate. I think it was Mark Perkins who was leading it on LinkedIn, who was like, this is not a winner. I mean, from my perspective, I thought it was fantastic. And sometimes the simplicity of something can be annoying. And I expect that's probably what Mark was talking about. And I think sometimes if you're in a position where you can carry through the simplicity of an idea all the way through a brand so that it delivers that kind of impact, it really can make sense. And that's where if you own, you know, a logo that you can change that already has so much cultural relevance, when you change it and you know, you're interacting with this massive cultural moment that England might actually bring it home. It was the most important message. And I think they did it very well. What did you think?
I agree. I think it was a good campaign. I think Mark's concern was that about how much of an earned media campaign it was. I think his view was, because you're Nike and you've just got so much visibility, you've got so much resource, actually it doesn't count in the same way that something like the Adidas campaign does, because that is more about tapping into, you know, culture that's a sort of cultural melting pot that people would talk about, and it's kind of got a quirkiness element to it. Whereas this is a, you know, effectively, I wouldn't say product placement because the product is the cause, but Yeah, I mean,
it's got wider connotations. Yeah,
I think that's what.
But it's again, it's like, obviously, I haven't seen the full award entry in terms of what it may or may not have delivered. I think there was a moment where Sadiq Khan was on television, kind of wearing the shirt and so forth. So, not quite sure how it carried all the way through. But what is really smart is that obviously sport is visual. Mm. And any picture, any TV shot, anything would have captured the inversion of the brand in that way that I think would have engaged people with the brand much better than if they hadn't have done it. And that is earning a relationship with your stakeholders, with your customers, with all of those sports fans. So I think therefore it was quite clever.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
I agree. I think it was clever.
So, John, on to the next one, where to settle with MasterCard.
Yeah, so I thought I'd pick this one. By the way, these aren't necessarily my very most favourite from the PR lines, but I think it's good to sort of follow on from themes. And I sort of put this in a similar way in the category of the Ice and Food Club one. So anyway, I'll discuss it first. So Where to Settle, which is by McCann Poland, it's for MasterCard. So effectively, this was some tech that was produced, sort of an app effectively to help refugees from Ukraine who are moving obviously into Poland in great numbers last year, advising them where the best place to settle was in terms of the facilities and the infrastructure and, you know, access to finance and jobs, accommodation, all that sort of stuff. Because as you can imagine, a lot of people would just head for the obvious places to Warsaw and other big cities, but that wasn't necessarily the best way to go. And obviously they were, the Polish government were presumably having difficulty with logistics of it all. So this was used a lot. Quite a high percentage of people who from Ukraine who moved into Poland used it. And it just strikes me a bit like, as I say, the Ice and Food Club one. It's just a useful thing to do to help people linked to a very clear cause. So from that point of view, I think that it's...
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah, it did the job and was clearly effective. But I do think it gets down to that point again, you know, is this a PR campaign or is this something a company did that was the right thing to do to help people in need? So it's the same debate in a way.
But the brief possibly for a PR campaign may start with what's the right thing to do at this moment for people in need. Mm. And if you're going to create something meaningful that has better impact, it needs to be meaningful.
Yeah, it's not commercial, it's society.
Yeah, but yeah. Again, I expect it was probably a mixture, right? And I expect if MasterCard was delivering that at a business level, it probably became an innovation that was a collaboration between the marketing communications teams and the development teams.
Mm. Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
I would have thought so. But very much a business strategy element too, which is not a bad thing.
And it would definitely fit with MasterCard because obviously their work in the UK over the years has recently been supporting small businesses. So this idea of working locally, even on a bigger scale, it would fit their MO.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because American Express is always the one that I think of as the brand that if you're in trouble somewhere in the world, you make a phone call and American Express will be there. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting that MasterCard kind of went into that space maybe more than American Express.
Yeah.
Well, there was this, do you remember a few years ago, there was this MasterCard campaign during one of the big football tournaments where they would give meals to poor parts of South America based on how many goals were scored by certain players.
I've never heard of this.
Possibly the worst campaign I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was dubbed the Hunger Games.
Oh, no.
So I think, you know, clearly they've learned their lessons that actually if you try to be quirky with it, if you try to make it look like you're, you know, doing something for effect rather than just doing a good thing. And a lot of people made the point then, well, if you've got the money, why don't you just give it to the people who need it? So in a way, I think this shows the maturity of purpose campaigns.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I suppose it's where purpose ultimately is something that should sit at the heart of business strategy.
Yeah.
It should sit at the heart of everything that they do. So if this is now manifesting itself in the right way, in the way that it's delivering these sorts of campaigns that engage with customers or respond to societal issues, that's the right thing rather than a PR campaign that's simply using something in the external world to create media coverage.
Yeah.
So absolutely, that purpose needs to rock all the way through the business. And really the end point is the media coverage, right?
Yeah.
So on to the next campaign, Siobhan, the Dove campaign.
Yes. So this has sort of similarities to what you were saying earlier. So it was in the Social and Influence Alliance, and it was created by Edelman Toronto.
And it's called Keep the Grey.
It is, yeah. They picked up a silver for this one. So it's Keep the Grey for Dove. And the premise was that I think it was a newsreader in Canada had gone to a natural colour, stopped dyeing her hair, and they believe had lost her job based on the fact that she had stopped dyeing her hair and that she wasn't trying to look younger. And so there was a big hoo-ha, I think you can say, that if she'd been a male broadcaster, would this have happened? And there was a lot of comment at the time. And as a result, Dove felt the need to react to this. So what they did was they created, their logo was changed to a grey logo. And then their influencers and the social around it, they did a lot of campaigning. And as a result, the people followed. So it became a real talking point. It's not necessarily original. It's not an original, you know, it's quite a simple concept of following based on the news. What I just loved about it was that it just really gets you thinking. You ask, you do think, yeah.
But I think it responded brilliantly to, you know, the way that somebody was treated because of the way that they look.
Yeah.
The way that a woman was treated because of the way that she looked, and obviously incredibly ageist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think to respond to that in the way that they did, I think was incredibly smart.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it goes back to your point about purpose. You know, Dove really tried to work at being quite a campaigner, especially about looks. And obviously, I think there can be more of a leniency towards the impact of influencers and a younger demographic. But I thought it was a nice refreshing change that it was more for a campaign for older women rather than it just being about, you know, looks and how it affects mental health of younger people.
There are echoes of Always Like a Girl in a way, because that was, but it seems like, you know, such a classic campaign. From it was almost 10 years ago, wasn't it? I mean, that was one where it took what was a sort of a supposedly slightly insulting phrase, you know, doing something like a girl in an insulting way when it comes to sport or physical activity, and turn it into a positive thing. This is kind of similar in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely feeding into sort of what's being spoken out at the time as well. I think it's really tapping into that topic of conversation, which is a really important one.
Well, I suppose it's just the anything that really says that a woman should look like in a certain way. And they're obviously moving on, as you say, from the kind of the younger image of body image now starting to engage in the kind of over 50s conversation, which I think increasingly we're going to see from many brands, you know, in the coming years, as well as also the increasing conversations around menopause and so forth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So finally, to this year's Grand Prix winner, which was a campaign called Self-Love for a US brand called DoorDash, which I presume is a bit like Deliveroo. And that was created by an agency in LA called GUT. Singles could order a bouquet of flowers for themselves, where 11 were roses and one was the rose vibrator. So, I was a bit surprised by it, if I'm honest. And I can imagine that it absolutely probably got, you know, fantastic amounts of media coverage, and it definitely did, you know, hit on a kind of social taboo potentially. But as a Grand Prix winner, it's the kind of thing that I can imagine would have been in one of my press office slides, but in a pitch. But I can't. I'm surprised that it's got the Grand Prix position. But you know, as Joanne always said, it was just an incredibly simple insight, and that's kind of what sat behind it.
Yeah.
John, what did you think?
I think this year there is a much closer link between obvious success and whether it's going to win and what level it's going to win. I think previously, when I look at, you know, not just the PR lines, but most of the lines, there's this real sense of like original spark of something that makes you go, wow. And I don't think there's as much of that this time.
It definitely isn't. There's a definite rollback and I think on this quality of work.
Yeah. And I think this is reflected in this campaign. I think this campaign looked perfectly fine. It obviously did great work. You know, it was very, very effective. So from that point of view, that is what matters. And in a way, I think maybe this is what we should be celebrating, because, you know, for years, the PR industry has kind of said, look at the impact we can have. It's not all about the kind of mega blockbuster campaigns that ad agencies do that sort of blow your mind with like these incredible visuals and all the rest of it. Actually, it's about results, and this had results, and it won big because it had big results. You know, there are so many other campaigns like this. I mean, you look at, you know, another campaign that we talk about quite a lot, you know, the baked beans and Weetabix campaign spawned a zillion imitators of quirky things with food in the last sort of couple of years. But with that, it's kind of, you know, if you'd never seen that before and that was put into Cannes, you might think, what? Firstly, I don't know what baked beans is because I'm not from Britain, someone would probably say.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sort of leap out as like an amazingly sort of stunning original idea. But that was really effective. And this was clearly really effective as well. So
I think the insight was always there, wasn't it? I mean, God, I've sat in how many Valentine's brainstorms along the year, and actually, you know, many, many people's, you know, the general guidance is don't bother because there'll be one story and there'll be a quarter of a page available somewhere. And, you know, it's the competition is absolutely massive. But I think, you know, there's always been lots of conversations about what this means for single people. And I think, you know, there's a million ideas out there in the industry that have thought about this. And this one obviously cut through. So it obviously did very well. Siobhan, what did you think?
It's not the most original, but then maybe we're talking obviously Valentine's Day last year, I'm imagining.
Yes.
So maybe at the time it was a bit more, because it's quite a while ago, things move on. So maybe at the time it was a very big topic of conversation. And again, like you say, I don't know exactly how the criteria was, but maybe people were sharing this more on social when they got these. Maybe the actual coverage was really,
I think the social conversation was really strong. I'd love to have seen actually commercially how many of them sold. I think that would have been a really good piece. I mean, at the end of the day, Valentine's Day has just turned into this awful sort of day, hasn't it? Yeah. And I mean, who really does? I mean, you're going out to a restaurant having an awful time. So it was definitely an inversion of something that I think definitely created a conversation around a day that has become really boring.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, very true.
You know, for that reason. But I suppose, you know, if we look back, oh God, I used to do Cannes reviews all the time of, you know, the sorts of work that was coming out. And it would set the bar of, oh, wow, look at that amazing work that's just come out of, you know, brilliant campaign. And I suppose it feels like a good idea. It could have got maybe a listing in the PR Week Awards, maybe not have won the PR Week Campaign of the Year. Do you know what I mean? It would have been a really good PR campaign. Yeah. But is it setting the bar, as you say, of really innovative work that you think, right, absolutely, that's going to inform some of the work that I'm going to do next year?
Yeah.
Possibly not. It feels like one of those ideas that you feel like you should have done, but you didn't do, but somebody has finally done it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that shows it's not such a bad thing. It actually, first thing I thought of was this campaign from maybe 5 years ago called Boo Cakes. Do you remember Boo Cakes?
No.
Well,
Boo Cakes.
Boo Cakes.
Right.
Well, sit down and let me tell you a story. It was a campaign by Mr. Kipling. It was basically a bouquet of flowers, but made from cakes. Boo Cakes.
Nice.
Right.
I think that was seen as very much a kind of picture stunt. You know, it was fine. It got some really decent publicity, probably. Admittedly, this seems like it's linked more to, as you say, research and a sort of an issue in society. And clearly,
I think
there's
a genuine
successful
insight there. I would really love to know, because I think there would be people that would genuinely order that bouquet.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, potentially it could be a commercial thing that happens every year. You know, yeah. I think it is therefore quite a good idea.
It could have put DoorDash on the map. Maybe that's another reason why. Maybe the commercial aspect was phenomenal. You say, we need to know really the.
But we did ask Joanne about this, didn't we, when she came on last time? Like, is it the results and the, you know, there's obviously effectiveness awards, and Joanne said it's all about the creativity. So
it's interesting, isn't it? You know, there are some other campaigns that I thought were interesting in this. The Lettuce Liz one. So these are some campaigns
genius.
That we know.
It was genius, that campaign.
I mean, this is the one for the Star, famously, where they had a lettuce that was dressed up like Liz Truss, and they asked the question, will the lettuce last longer than Liz Truss? We probably all remember it. I thought that was just interesting to see a publisher like winning one of these campaigns. I mean, did anyone else find that unusual? So it was the Star.
The Daily Star are hilarious, aren't they? But they absolutely caught the zeitgeist of the moment, didn't they? And it was just a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it was just, you know, brilliant. Because actually, I've actually worked with, you know, sub-editors and stuff. Anybody that can come up with a good headline is obviously normally, then you can backtrack on the idea. But somebody just thought, Lettuce Liz.
Yeah.
And it went from there.
And she didn't like it though, John. What was
it? Puerile is what our former Prime Minister called it.
I think we'd also talk about your economics in that way as well, Liz. But anyway, let's move on. I was just talking about as well, there was one campaign that was not in the awards that I was quite surprised by, which was Prime. So we talked about, do you remember Prime? So for any of our listeners that don't have a nine-year-old like me, Prime is an incredible drink. Well, not an incredible drink. I actually think it's disgusting. But anyway, it's a drink that kind of created the first playground craze that I think I've ever seen, you know, in the last 10 years. And there used to be a time, you know, when I was first in PR where it was, you'd get brief after brief after brief, you know, we want this to be the next playground craze. And obviously with the advent of gaming and, you know, most kids being online, an actual real thing, creating a craze was just a really unusual thing. And it's just been phenomenal. It has taken over, you know, kid culture to the point where, you know, KSI was on, you know, News at 10 saying kids don't buy this because the pricing, they basically had an availability issue, which meant it was being sold for over £100 for one small drink on eBay. And it's absolutely captured that target audience, but didn't think I saw any mention of it in this year's winners, right?
No, maybe there wasn't a major sort of ad agency involved in it or PR agency directly involved in it. So maybe they didn't feel
compelled
to enter.
Well, it was how you create a craze, and it's fascinating, isn't it? Because they did the classic supply and demand thing, which is obviously, you know, PR tactics of creating limited editions and, you know, creating that sense that something isn't available and there'll be that lead up to when it might be available is just a brilliant way to create a conversation and create demand for something. And it did a brilliant job of that. I spent a lot of money on it, but anyway. but I thought it was an incredible campaign. And the fact that it then covered all the way through to News at 10, I think is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of this episode, I think. I'm sure there's probably many more awards that we could discuss. Well done to everybody that won at Cannes this year. And we'll look forward to Danny hopefully joining us next time with his update. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll look forward to you joining us next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.